Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
The tax gap is real. Republicans on this committee support closing it. The tax gap, the difference between taxes owed and paid, has been a stubborn problem for decades. The IRS periodically estimates the tax gap using audits and other data it collects. And as of September 2019, the IRS estimates the average gross tax gap at $441 billion per year for 2011 to 2013. And after late payments and enforcements, I should say, the net tax gap is $381 billion. While those numbers are improvements from preceding years, the tax gap remains a problem.
That is an amazing thing if you pay your full tax bill. That is John Thune, the number two Republican in the Senate, South Dakota Republican, talking about the need to increase enforcement at the IRS and audits to make sure that tax gap shrinks. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to talk to Terry Savage coming up here. If you've got a question about your personal finances or hers, she'll take your calls at 312-981-7200. A text would work as well. Terry, welcome back to the show.
Always glad to be with you.
So what do you make of that tax gap? I hadn't expected to talk about it right off the bat here, but John Thune on the Senate committee had a hearing today saying we need to work on this. I think most of us who think we pay our full tax bill would be pretty discouraged to hear that that much of the taxes owed to the government go unpaid every year.
Well, I think they're going to put some money behind that. I'm not sure I believe those figures, though.
You think they're inflated?
Yeah, I think they are inflated, and I think that when you think about the, I don't have the figures for this, but I think that this is the kind of issue that's intended to divide America instead of unite America, and it annoys me tremendously. We fund the IRS very well. I think if they're going to focus on the tax gap, that's legal and legitimate and perfectly fine. Thought you were going to talk to me about the crazy.
I am. I'm so sorry. I didn't know that Brian had pulled that, though, because I like the topic. But it's bipartisan. I mean, that's John Thune, a Republican. I think the Democrats and the administrations of the IRS are in favor of that. So we'll talk about that.
I think evading taxes is not only a federal crime, but a moral one as well. I think using the tax law to your advantage is the reason why we have a tax system.
Oh, I'm with you. I'm totally with
so
you on that.
They should write the laws, and the IRS should collect the taxes. And
if we need to tighten the laws, we need to tighten the laws. But I agree with you. If you're following the law, you're following the law.
And so that's not subject to subjective discussion.
Okay.
Which I think it's devolved into.
I'm sorry, I blindsided you. What the hell's going on Wall Street?
No, I'm blindsided by that, as a matter of fact.
Well, so the Dow went down early on and pretty much stayed down, a little recovery. The NASDAQ took a deep dive at the start and then ended up closing essentially flat.
What's going on is a sudden realization and a sudden emotional reaction, because if you look at the CBOE's VIX index, the fear and greed index, you see it's starting to move now. Everybody was very complacent. Everybody was saying, oh, thank you, Papa Fed Chairman. You're going to make everything all right. You're going to print all this money. Oh, thank you, government. You're going to hand out all this money, and it's going to make everything all right, and there will be no consequences. And suddenly, there's a rising appreciation, and I wrote a column. It's interesting. The column just went up on my website. I wrote it 10 days ago, so I was ahead of the curve on this, calling Where's Inflation? And I pointed out, well, it's in a lot of places that don't seem to, quote, count as inflation, like stock prices, like things like lumber and copper and various commodities, chips, higher prices caused primarily by the lack of supply. But the fact of the matter is prices of a lot of stuff, including residential real estate, are up substantially. And that was just a bulge in inflation in various corners. Suddenly, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock Chicago time, we're going to see the consumer price index number, and it could show inflation, there's a concern, just pushing up against the Fed's, well, we're not worried about that level. Now, they say 1 month, 2 months won't make a difference. Well, we're going to see.
So the increase in cost of lumber because of supplies or chips because of supplies, because those prices are going up, even though it's a shortage, not a I don't understand inflation sometimes, Terry, so I'm asking you a simple question.
Inflation, I'm going to give you one-on-one.
Well, let me just real
quickly. Inflation is always a monetary policy, always a monetary phenomenon. That's what inflation is.
So if something...
Too much money chasing too little goods and pushing prices up. Now, sometimes it's too much money being created by the government. Sometimes it's a problem with supply of goods, like you just mentioned.
Right, okay.
But what happens next is, just the third lever of inflation, we don't notice it so much when we see it in markets like used car prices or like copper. Nobody's sitting around watching those things. Stock prices, we all think, well, a little bit of inflation. The stock price is very good for my 401k. But we've also had another phenomenon going on called a lot of empty jobs and people not taking them. Now, I happen to have a strong vote of sympathy for mothers who can't put their kids in school so they can't go back to work. So well, that's a philosophical discussion. But I'll tell you what employers are going to do and are doing. They're raising wages to attract people. Because there are others who say, well, they're not going back to work because they get such generous unemployment benefits. So you now get some in Congress who want to cut unemployment benefits or some at state government levels who want to cut the extended benefits. And then you get employers who are going to raise the attractiveness of the jobs by raising wages. So now when are you going to start to believe inflation? When it's used cars, copper, and the stock market? When wages start creeping up? Or when you see the consumer price index of all the things people buy moving higher.
That is,
I think you're beginning to see all those components come together, and the stock market thinks it too.
Terry Savage will take your calls coming up at 312-981-7200. I already have a couple people on the line. Homework for you, Terry, during the break. Today is Eat Whatever You Want Day. So when we come back...
I've been doing that all day.
I want you to tell me if you could eat anything in the world today, what would it be? First, here's Mary. Back on 720 WGN. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. Terry Savage joins us on a phone line now. Terry, the question is, today on Eat Whatever You Want Day, what is it that you would choose?
It would have to be something related to chocolate.
Okay.
Did anybody ever say anything other than chocolate?
I went for deep fried shrimp myself, but I realize that's sort of a pedestrian approach.
So, oh, my gosh. Any form of chocolate.
Okay, so chocolate's on your list. Someone called in. She couldn't hold on. We're going to get to Michelle and Glenn coming up, some texts as well. But the woman who called in earlier said, what would you make of abolishing the income tax and just going to a national sales tax?
It's interesting that would... It's not a sales tax. That would be that would be very retrogressive on people... Just think about
make
this.
Little,
someone making $33,000 a year spends all her money and probably on necessities like food. And then you'd say, well, but with someone making $330,000 a year just spends a small proportion of it, so that wouldn't be fair. And then you'd say, okay, well, we'll exclude stuff like what? Food. Okay, then I can buy caviar? No, that's not fair. Many for a long time proposed a value-added tax that gets built into the price of things you buy, that it would be fairer and it would be easier to collect. The fact is that I don't think once that got instituted, it would raise enough money and that they would come back at you with, well, we'll just tax the rich. I wrote in a column on inflation that when the income tax started in 1913, only the top rate was 7%. And it was for incomes over $11 million in today's dollars. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem with taxes is that once they're in there and they're built into the system, they always ensnare more people. Regardless of who you think is paying the tax, the burden is not always spread fairly.
Okay. So, but you're talking about the VAT tax, which they have in Europe, which I thought was just a sales tax. It's weighted.
No, it's more. It's built into the price of things you buy, so it's paid by the manufacturers and the creators of all the products.
I see. Okay.
Okay. A sales tax. I mean, seriously, think about how regressive
that
is.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
So, and then you start making exceptions, and then you have to start calculating, and then, you know, then you've got a problem.
All right. I want to get to the calls. I'd be interested in your thought on a flat tax, too, but we'll do that another day. Michelle has called. Michelle, welcome to WGN.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What can we do for you?
Good. I think it was Anna earlier. She was talking about this tax thing where, like, you know, low-income mothers or single mothers can apply for this tax break or something. I was working, and then I got a call, and I couldn't understand it.
Is it the child tax credit?
Yeah, thank you. But what happens if you've already done your taxes? Like, I just do them on TurboTax. I don't have a lot of, you know, things. It's pretty simple. So I just do it on TurboTax, but I already did it. So okay. And I already got my refund.
Okay, here's the deal. You really don't have to apply for it if you've already filed. Let's explain what it is. You get up to $3,000. Your little children are worth so much more to you than you knew. For qualifying child between the ages of 6 and 17 at the end of 2021, $3,600 for qualifying child under age 6 at the end of 2021, okay? The credits are phased out for incomes over $150,000 on a joint return or $112,000 head of household or $75,000. Those are pretty familiar numbers because they sound like the stimulus limits. $75,000 for a single taxpayer. And the child tax credit is calculated. It's refundable, isn't it? So if you didn't even put that on there, they'll calculate it. And they're going to start making advance payments on this new, larger 2021 child tax credit starting in July through December at the rate of about $300 a month per child. Okay? The total advance is up about 50% of the credit that you will earn for 2021. And they do this right off your 2020 return, okay? So that makes you eligible, okay. And they'll start sending you the child tax credit if you list a child, and only you list a child. This is really tough on divorced parents. In fact, I talked to a woman today who said, but I agreed to give my husband my child, even though we have 50-50 custody, I agreed in my divorce that he could take him as a dependent because I figured I wouldn't make any money except very much. And he said he needed him for a deduction. Well, that's great, except you just gave up a credit that comes to you, not a deduction from your income, but a refundable credit that goes to you at the rate for 2021 of $300 a month.
Okay, Michelle, does that help?
So you're saying we don't have to do anything. They're just going to automatically money is just
going
to start coming.
It's going to
appear. So I have three kids between 6 and 17. I'm a single mom. There's no dad.
And is your income, you file your own income, is it under $75,000?
No, but it's under $112,000.
No, on a single return, your income has to be under $75,000. It phases out very quickly above that.
See, if you'd hung up earlier, Michelle, you'd be in the money. I'm sorry about that. Thank you for the call anyway.
Oh, okay, sorry. I thought it said you said the credits was over, had a household for 112.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you're filing as head of household, it's $112,500.
Okay.
Head of household, and I mean, I'm the only parent, so that's head of household.
Okay, $112,500.
Okay. Ah, good thing you hanged on.
And they'll just, okay.
We're going to squeeze in another one, Michelle. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Let's move on to, we have a text here, Terry. My daughter is a college graduate. 2 years ago, she graduated. She was a dependent on our taxes but filed her own this year, has not received any stimulus payments. We keep checking but don't get any information from the IRS, either not eligible or in the process or anything. What should she do?
Let me back up. See, I don't know whether, number one, this family received the 14. We're talking about the 1400. Okay. The 1400 she would receive on her own, and if she filed her own return, she can expect that it will come. And if it doesn't, she'll be able to claim it next year on her tax return.
That's that clawback we talk about. All right.
Exactly.
I'm going to squeeze
in. That's not a clawback, but the parents might have also gotten $1,400 for the child because she was on their last return. In fact, they might each get $1,400, and that would be great, and they don't have to return that.
Got just a minute left. We're going to say hello to Glenn. Glenn, what can we do for you?
Question for Terry. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm going to inherit a condominium from my parents. They're putting it in the will. And I'm trying to, they said, Glenn, you can sell it. You know, you can take it. Now, I know if there's something about how that property is listed or how it is set up in the will to have lesser of a tax burden. So I'm trying to gauge, do I keep it?
No,
how do I keep it? Or,
Glenn,
or should I sell it and get the
money? Yes. Little time. Glenn, let me just say this. Under the current law, if your parents bought the condo for $75,000 and happen to die next week and it's worth $150,000, your cost basis is $150,000 on the date of death, the value on the date of death. You can live in it, make it your own residence, and then in case you get a benefit for living there for 2 years of $250,000 of gains from that $150,000 tax-free. If you sell it the next day, the day you bought it, they died, it was worth $150,000, someone pays you $160,000, then you have a gain of $10,000 under the current tax law. They're trying to do away with that and say, oh, if you, the son, inherited a condo that cost your parents $75,000 20 years ago, sorry, your cost basis will be $75,000 when and if you sell it.
We got to run,
Terry.
That's
not part of the law yet, but it doesn't matter what right now what you do with it. Depends on what the law is when your parents die.
I just want to pursue that further. I just don't understand that, but I'm glad you called. Thanks, Glenn. And Terry, we'll talk again next week, okay?
Absolutely.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News. We're going to head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.
Gee!